Brothers and sisters in DMC, what a joy and blessing it is to be able to speak to you again today. I thank God for the opportunity to be able to connect in spite of CMCO, that we can have technology, right, to be able to interact, share, talk. I pray by God's grace, friends, that you are keeping well by the grace of God, in spite of the turbulent time we are in. And therefore, I want to speak about living in turbulent times. How do we overcome anxiety, fear, as well as the future? We know it's uncertain times that we're living in. So what do we do? How can we respond? I want to read from Psalm 23, which I'm going to preach on, this great Psalm of David that David writes to us like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise and worship and thanksgiving for the mercy and the goodness of yours upon our lives. In spite, O God, of this pandemic, in spite of uncertainties and everything else around us, your hand, O God, we believe, has been upon us to lead, to guide, to direct us. And so, Lord, we ask our Father, you by your Holy Spirit, take your word and speak to and challenge us, that in times of turbulence that we're living through, our Father, that your word will comfort, challenge, and draw us in response. We know the grace of yours upon our lives in a wonderful manner. We commit this time to you, Father, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, once there was a lady who was getting ready to go to bed with a little child, a 9-year-old boy. And the mother said, okay, to the boy, son, would you go downstairs to the backyard and get hold of the broom, all right, and bring upstairs. I want to sweep and keep the room clean so there'll be wonderful sleep and rest. Well, the son said to the mom, you know, I'm afraid of the dark, okay, I'm scared. The mother said, son, don't worry. Jesus is everywhere. He is both in bright sunshine, daylight, as well as in the dark. So would you go? The son said, are you sure? The mom said, yes, certainly. So the son walked gingerly downstairs towards the backyard, cracked open the back door, and then said, Jesus, would you please pass the broom to me because I'm scared of the dark. Now, friends, you know, we're living in times of fear, uncertainties like this, all right, in the midst of this pandemic. What do we do? How do you respond? And this, friends, so important for you to understand. Therefore, in the midst of all this, we can still overcome our anxiety, our worry, our fear, and also about the future. And this is where, friends, can I say, David has this wonderful Psalm 22 to address this issue of us in our lives. So that as we wrestle through and see what David has to teach us, it will really encourage us and strengthen us in the process. David tells us, firstly, about a place of provision that God offers to you and I. Whereby God is our shepherd who meets all our needs. Here in verse 1, it tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. See, friends, this God of ours is a God who meets all our needs, so that whatever anxiety, worry we may have about our needs, friends, God, who is our perfect shepherd, will be there to meet our needs as a shepherd meets the needs of his sheep. The same God will do the same for us. In what way does he meet our need? In what way does he provide for us? Well, you know, he provides for us firstly in the whole area of rest for our bodies. He knows our bodies need rest. And that's why here in the first part of verse 2, it tells us like this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. See, in the midst of green pastures, he makes us lie down. I know in the midst of this uncertainty about the future, we find ourselves unable to lie down. We are restless, disconnected, concerned about where this is going to take us to. But friends, this God of ours, he wants to step in. He wants to enable us to rest. And you and I know, friends, how important it is for our bodies to be rested like this. And God knows that, friends. That's why he makes us lie down. And Jesus also knows when he deals with his own disciples. In the midst of his ministry and so many demands, this is what Jesus says to his disciples here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. Then, because so many people coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. See, in the midst of demands of ministry and responsibilities, jostling to and fro, Jesus says to his own disciples, "Would you come aside and take some rest? That rest for our bodies that is needed for all of us, so that in it, friends, we'll find the peace and the quietness of our hearts and our lives." Not only, friends, you know, God, our shepherd, comes who gives us rest for our bodies. He also refreshes our spirits. Why? Because in the second part of verse 2, it says to us like this, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Waters refresh our spirits. Water to renew us, to strengthen us in a wonderful manner. This is exactly, friends, you know what? Peter said the same as well. There when this beggar that was crippled healed a beautiful gate there in Jerusalem, and people astonished, and people got together, tried to witness what is this happening here. And Peter took the occasion to preach to the crowd that were gathered. Peter said like this in Acts chapter 3 and in verse 19, "Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord." You see, times of refreshing will come from the Lord Himself, and that's what God wants to do to all of us. That when we are lonely and weighed down and sometimes feeling low in our hearts and our spirits, He wants to come to lift us up, to enable us again to know that this God, all right, is good, and He comes to refresh us in a fresh new way. Not only, friends, you know, God comes to rest our bodies, to come to refresh our spirits, but He also offers us restoration of our souls. Why? Again, first part of verse 3, it says like this, "He restores my soul." See, the soul is a part of our feelings, our emotions at times, right, that it has been weighed down. Because why? We are isolated, we are lonely, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can even have depressive thoughts. And sometimes maybe even if we're not careful, suicidal thoughts like this. Why? Because we're cut off from everybody. It is in times like this, friends, God breaks through, breaks in, helps us, all right, to have our souls been restored in a wonderful manner. I think, friends, you know, of this incident here, or in the life of David as well, where David writes like this in Psalm 62 and in verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him." You see, in God, there is restedness for our souls. There is a restoration, refreshment, renewal that He brings to us in a wonderful manner. I think, my friends, you know, about 2 years ago, I was preaching in Sitawan Wesley Methodist Church. And then at the end of the service, which is normally the case, I love to hang around, meet up with people, say hello to them, encourage one another, and then pray for some of them. One of the persons I was introduced to is a gentleman named Jimmy Koo. So what happens, a sister brought him to me at the end of the service. They said, "Pastor Daniel, this is my brother Jimmy." And then after this, the sister related to me the story of Jimmy. See, Jimmy was the first time coming to the church in his whole life. But what happens is Jimmy had just lost his son a few years earlier. But more than that, right, he lost his wife, okay, 2 years ago. And that's how the sister brought him to come to stay in Sitawan and for him to be brought to church. And not only that, Jimmy also suffered a stroke. So in the midst of all this grief and pain, here was Jimmy willing to come to the church for the first time in his life. I said to Jimmy, "You know what, you're very special. Out of 7 billion people, God brought you from Penang and God brought me from KL to meet each other here in Sitawan. You know what? God understands your grief and your pain, the struggles and the sorrows you go through these number of years. And God wants to step into your life to help you, encourage you, comfort you, and minister to you." So I said to Jimmy, "Jimmy, would you be willing for me to pray for you to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior of life?" You know what he said? He said, "Yes." Right, to the surprise and shock, in fact, of his sister. And so, you know, it was my joy and privilege to lead Jimmy to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, and I've forgotten the incident. You know what? Just 2 weeks ago, the sister of Jimmy tried to contact me to want to thank me, all right, for what has happened in Jimmy's life. You see, what happens is 2 Sundays ago, Jimmy was baptized in Sitawan Wesley Methodist Church. I believe in this last 2 years, there has been a rest for his body, a refreshment for his spirit, but more than that, a restoration for his soul. So Jimmy has been so comforted, so blessed by God, that he was willing to take the step of faith to get baptized. And here, my friend, is a picture of Jimmy getting baptized there in this pool there in Sitiawan. And we praise and we celebrate the grace of God upon his life. And here is also a picture of the sister and brother-in-law with Jimmy. Now Jimmy finally finding a home like this to be connect with and share and know the grace of God upon his life. That's the kind of God, the kind of shepherd you and I have, friends. One who comes to provide for us in all our needs. But more than that, friends, you know, there is also the righteousness we must exhibit. Why? Because in the second half of verse 3, it says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, this God is a God who is concerned about truth, justice, and righteousness, about morality. And therefore, when he guides us, he will always guide us in things that are right and good and true. Because it is only out of that, you and I, my friends, can experience peace, restedness, and joy in the Lord. Because otherwise, when we do things that are unrighteous, there will never be peace and restedness at all. There will never be the joy of the Lord that will fill our hearts. Friends, that's the first thing. That God, our shepherd, comes to us. A place of provision in every way for our hearts, for our lives, even in times of pandemic like this. But more than that, friends, you know, David says there's a promise of his protection. Why? Because there is no fear, even when we go through grave danger. And so the first part of verse 4, David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is it there is no need to fear evil even when we got through something like this? Like right now, some of us are going through this valley of the shadow of death. All right, we are filled and gripped by fear. Well, why is it David could say there is no need for fear? Because, friends, firstly, of God's presence in our lives. And so therefore, the second half of verse 4, it says, for you are with me. Friends, says God of ours, he's with us all the time. With us, in us, for us, and around us. And for this, my friends, you and I can take comfort in really to know that there is a God who remains steadfast and sure and certain. But sometimes we may find God distant. If you and I find God distant, you know what? Who has moved? It is you and I who has moved, because God has always been the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never moved. And so this is where you and I need to draw close to God again to experience his presence. Not only, friends, you know, we fear no evil because of God's presence, but also you and I can know God's protection. Because again, verse 4, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the staff for? The rod, as we know, is meant to ward off evil, meant to ward off danger. And so, for example, it's a ward of fierce animals like wolves wanting to attack the sheep. And that's what the shepherd would do, using the rod to ward off all kinds of danger and evil that will come to attack the sheep. And that's what God does with our lives as well, right? Warding off danger that might come upon us. But also on the other hand, there's a staff. What's the purpose of the staff for the shepherd? To lead, to guide the sheep, and to retrieve some of the sheep might have fallen into the drain. And that's what the staff is meant for. Lead, guide, direct, help us give a real sense of direction and purpose in our lives. And that's the kind of God you and I have, my friends. A God not only comes to show his presence for us, a God who comes to protect us in a wonderful manner. But more than that, friends, not only is his presence, his protection, but also his provision for all of us in our lives. And so the first part of verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, this God comes to provide even food for us in the presence of our enemies. Now, you and I know, my friends, when we are surrounded by enemies, we are never at peace and at rest. You see. We still wouldn't be able to eat, right? When we are surrounded by forces that are against us. And yet, my friends, you know what? David could say, even in light of the danger around us, surrounding us, God will still provide for us, even food on the table. And that's a testimony I believe many of us can really share in, isn't it? That in the midst of danger, uncertainty, insecurity, and fear about the future, God comes in his presence, in his protection, in his provision for all of us in our lives. And this is why I think of the testimony of our brother Tan Boon here in UMC. I thank God for what God has done in his life. But you and I know, friends, Tan Boon was taken down with COVID-19, all right? What happens is in the month of March this year, and then warded okay, right away in Sanwei Medical Center, and after that, okay, shipped right across, okay, to Sungai Buloh Hospital. And there was Tambun battling for his life, literally, all right? It was really touch and go, and the first medical report that came out wasn't really promising at all, at all. But you know, friends, many people prayed, intercessors, cell group members where Tambun belongs to, and so many in church, plus people outside as well, started to pray, to intercede, to cry to God for God's mercies and for God's grace, for God's protection, for God to be with him every step of the way, and that God will provide for all his needs. And we know, friends, with the attack of COVID-19 like this, it attacks a major part of one's organs. So his heart was affected, his lungs were certainly affected, but also his kidneys as well. He was literally battling for his life, for something like, okay, more than 50 days of his life. But you know, praise God. God took him to the valley of the shadow of death. God broke through powerfully. And here is a testimony of God's amazing work of grace in his life. And so here is Tambun, my friend, battling and struggling for his life, and how God broke through a powerful man and showed mercy and grace upon him. So that, friends, in a process, he could come up from the ICU and could walk around in the ward. But eventually, friends, discharged after 52 days, the longest record held by a patient, all right, with regards to, I believe, COVID-19 in our country like this. And today, Tambun is out. Of course, he's doing necessary exercise. So physiotherapy and everything will put him back into good health and strength. But the amazing thing is this, my friends. Today, Tambun suffers from no ill effects whatsoever from COVID-19. Because I know of people who are today suffering from ill effects after recovering from COVID-19. But here, friends, is a fantastic example of God's protection, his promise to Tambun, as he is for all of us, that we can share and celebrate and give thanks and rejoice in the grace and the goodness of God. Friends, you know what? More than that, there is also the promise of God's anointing upon us in our lives. And so the second half of verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." You see, God comes to anoint and release his oil. His oil means his presence, his anointing, his favor, his hand upon our lives. And that's what God does. He goes beyond, all right, what we expect to pour into our lives so that our cup overflows, as you can see. And here, therefore, Tambun could also testify, really, an amazing way God has really abundantly blessed him with a lovely wife, okay, and two amazing daughters who are also outstanding in their studies as well. Friends, you know, here's a God who comes in provision, who comes in protection. And that's the kind of God you can testify. And that's where, friends, we can rest in his peace, assurance, and his joy in a powerful manner. Don't you, friends, you know, you and I can have this place of provision, the promise of God's protection. But finally, friends, you know what you and I must do? We must be practicing his presence, the presence of God in our lives, which is, I think, so, so important for all of us. To know, for example, that this God is good. Why? Because the first part of verse 6, it says to us, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." This goodness will follow us. And because this goodness of God will follow us, that's why this God of ours is good. Because he's good, that's why goodness will follow us, isn't it? And this is where, friends, we can rest in God's peace and joy and confidence. I think of right now, isn't it? In the midst of the pandemic happening around us, in the midst of spikes right now, as it were, in this third wave here, all right, that we experienced in Malaysia, it has certainly put a lot of anxiety, if not fear and worry, in all our lives. We're just wondering, what does the future hold? And we are really weighed down in so many ways, isn't it? And now, friends, you know what? You and I must believe this God of ours is good, that we don't have to worry. And so, you know what, friends? Sometimes we are so filled with worry that when we go to the supermarket to buy things back, you know what? Every item of ours, it must be washed in water before we put it in the fridge or put it away. Or sometimes maybe every ringgit note as well that we got back, every single ringgit note must be washed in water before we dry and put away in our purse and our wallet. You know, friends, we can become paranoid, right, by what is happening around us. And this is where you and I need to know this God of ours is good. We walk in faith and not in fear. We walk confidently in this God who loves us, who cares for us, who knows how long we live. His design and destiny for us is always good, my friends, so that we do not have to cripple I'll be crippled by fear, but walk in confident faith and trust in this living God. And that's so important, isn't it, for you and I. And so, my friends, you know, to know this God of ours is good. Because why? He's a wonderful, good God for all of us. Notice, dear friends, that God's goodness and love, that He will follow us all the days of our life. And so again, the first part of verse 6, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. See, God's goodness and God's love, you and I can have that security, assurance, and confidence will follow us all through life. Maybe allow me to share this testimony, all right, of ours personally. See, what happens was that I was invited to speak to the pastors and leaders in Sarawak at the pastors and leaders retreat at the last weekend of February this year. But this was planned more than a year ago earlier, actually. So I agreed, yeah, sure, I'll come. And so therefore, at the end of the last weekend, Fred Doris and I flew over. And I spoke at this retreat in Kuching in the church there. And some of you remember about this Pastor David Cheng, who was taken with COVID-19 and actually, sadly, the first COVID-19 patient to die in Malaysia, all right, from this coronavirus. And you know what? Pastor David was there throughout the whole time I was speaking, 6 sessions with one more thrown in. So 7 sessions I spoke. I don't know him at all, but near the end of the retreat, someone told me about him. And then the final night, as he was passing by me, I said, hi, you're David. I said, hi. So we chatted, talked very briefly, just about a couple of minutes. We didn't shake hands at all. Then I came back. A few days later, I was told he was taken with COVID-19. And you and I know, not many days later, he passed away to the grief not only of his wife and children, but also to all of us who know him. We thank God for this amazing, faithful servant of God indeed. But you know what? A week and a half later, when we got back from Kuching, we decided to visit his cell group in Bangsa, part of the UMC cell group. And there, after that, a few days later again, and this is where we heard the story of Tan Boon, that he was taken with COVID-19 and warded in a hospital. You know what? After that, I told Doris, let's better go for a test to see how we are doing with regards to COVID-19. And of course, the rest of all the cell members in the cell group went for the test as well. You know what? Besides Tan Boon and another sister, Doris was also taken down with COVID-19, whereas I was tested negative. And then more than that, right, the Ministry of Health sent the ambulance, okay, that night to try to pick up Doris. They come in the middle of the night. I thank God and give credit to the Ministry of Health. They really perfected the SOP so well that they make sure when they come to pick up a particular patient and send them to hospital, it will not create alarm, okay, in the neighborhood. So middle of the night they came. You know when they came, right, these two persons came down from the ambulance. They were dressed, right, totally in white, all right, well suited up, together white gloves, white, okay, shoes, okay, they will have face masks as well as a face shield on them. And then I was taking Doris' stuff and walk outside and put it into the ambulance. These two, as it were, spacemen, when they saw me, they were shocked. Why? Because they saw the Chinaman in his t-shirt, in shorts, no face mask, no nothing at all. And here he was carrying stuff into the ambulance. And here were two of us, spacemen, literally dressed, okay, right up to our tip in every way whatsoever. Friends, you know, this is where you and I can have the assurance and the confidence to trust this God, who is good, and that His goodness, His love, will follow us all the days of our lives. Friends, you know, I thank many of you, of course, who prayed for us, all right, so fervently, okay, for Doris and for the others affected us, plus many around, that outside the church as well as, okay, around the world. And I thank God for this. But you know, you and I must have the peace and assurance and confidence. Our life is in God's good hands. We trust Him, therefore, from day to day. Of course, we should take the necessary SOPs as recommended by the government. We don't throw caution to the wind. But beyond that, friends, after taking all the necessary precautions, what else can we do but to walk in faith and in trust in a living God who loves us, who cares for us, who designs as to how long we should live on earth. And therefore, as much as with the time we still have on earth, we've got to max it up, isn't it, for God, for His glory. And so important, we don't waste away our time and our life. And it's so important. Every day matters. And we make every day count for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friends, you know, as we practice the presence of God, to know that this God is good, to know His love and His goodness will follow us all the days of our lives. There's one final thing David wants to remind us that you and I must do as we practice His presence. which is desiring to worship God in his house with his people. So at the end of verse 6, it says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, friends, this is so important for all of us, isn't it? That you and I must value worship, value time with God in his presence, value joining the people of God in worship, because that's a huge privilege, the honor and the blessing of people of God. People outside don't have that honor and the privilege, really, but you and I have. You know, friends, never, friends, miss opportunity to gather, right, together as God's people in worship in the house of God. Although I know now it's not possible, but we still gather on a Sunday morning, all right, or the evening for worship. We gather also in our cell groups, isn't it, to participate in worship, in fellowship, interaction, share one another. Even now, right now, we know through Zoom, but whatever it is, the opportunity to gather together is a huge privilege and a blessing, my friends. Don't miss it. Why? Because when we gather and worship in the house of God like this, we keep God at the center. Friends, when God is at the center, everything fades into insignificance. When we put God at the center, we see everything correctly, everything accurately. But once God is off center, my friends, we see everything wrongly. And that's why gathering together in the worship of God becomes so critical for all of us, especially in times like this. Why? Because as I said, although we don't know what the future holds, but you and I know who holds our future. The Lord of the universe. He holds the whole world in his hands. He holds your life, my life, everything else in his hands. We can trust, right, and rejoice and celebrate him. Let me close with this example. Just 2 months ago, I was invited up to Penang to preach in Georgetown Baptist Church. So I flew up on Saturday afternoon, preached the next morning, and then flew back in the afternoon. What happens is I got up early Sunday morning and said, I need to go to the gym to do workout in the hotel here. And so that's what I did. All right. Okay. Early morning, got up. Okay. Went to the gym, had a wonderful workout. And then of course, come back to the room, wash up, get ready, have a quick breakfast, and then dash off to preach in the church. After my workout in the gym, there's a lady who was taking care of the gym, a part of hotel staff like this. So at the end workout, I went up to her. I said, thank you so much for taking good care of gym. Therefore, all of us hotel guests, all right, we can use it. All right. What's your name, by the way? She said, my name is Gayathiri. Good to meet you, Gayathiri. Thank you so much indeed for helping all of us hotel guests who we make use of the gym. Gayathiri, you know what? My name is Daniel Ho. I'm a pastor from Kuala Lumpur. See, my friends, the moment I say I'm a pastor from Kuala Lumpur, she started to cry. All right. And I started to share, and of course, wrestled because she couldn't speak English well, so I wrestled with her and spoke to her in Bahasa and went on, shared with her. I said, actually, you're very special. Out of 7 billion people, God take a pastor to meet you here in this very place itself, in a place of work. God, tell you, you know what? God wants to step in and make a difference. Would you allow me to pray for you? And also to lead you to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, she said, yeah. Okay. And you know, it was my joy and privilege to lead her to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior in Bahasa Samo, in my limited Bahasa, for which I became a bit proud about it in a sense. You know, after the prayer, she took my hand and put it on her head, wanting more prayer and more blessing upon her life. What an amazing, smart lady, friends, who recognized the grace of God that she would need upon her life. Then I asked her, Gayathiri, could you tell me your story? And that's what she said. I'm actually 41 years old. I'm married with 8 children. My eldest is 24 years old. My youngest, 11 years old. I said, what about your husband? She said, yeah, my husband is 52 years old. But you know, he's in prison. I said, because of drugs. In fact, he has been totally irresponsible. I basically dumped him. All right, so disappointed, frustrated with him. At times, he wouldn't go violent with me. And so, sir, you know what? I'm basically a single mother. Worked hard like crazy in the last 10 years in this hotel to try to make ends meet. But more than that, after this work, I dash off in the evening to take on another job so that I can hold my family together. It has been a hard struggle all these years. I said, Gayathiri, you know what? This God understands and knows your needs. All right, can I just pray again the grace of God upon your life in a wonderful? And she allowed, and of course she cried. At the end, I took her number. I said, Gayathiri, I want to get someone to follow you up. It's okay. Say, yeah, sure. I flew back. Within a day or so, I contacted my good friend, Pastor Sam Surendran of Excel Point Community Church, a great pastor and pastoring great church. I said, Sam, could you send someone from your church to follow up? And indeed, Sam got his guy to spring to action. And here was Guy Thierry being followed up. And for the first time in Guy Thierry's life, here was her with a daughter coming to meet Pastor Sam. For the first time in her life, more than that, she was able to join church for worship after that a few days later. And what a blessing and a privilege it is for her and her daughter to experience that finally she has come home. She has found a home. She could gather with God's people, all right, to worship God. She has now got a family forever and ever. And this is, my friends, you know, the joy, the blessing, the privilege of us who have God as our shepherd, as now God is her shepherd as well, and her daughter's shepherd, my friends. That's the kind of thing you and I must do, not just for ourselves, in the midst of this pandemic of anxiety, fear, and the unknown about the future. This God is in charge and control, so we step out in faith, in trust, in belief, in confidence. But more than that, my friends, you know what? You and I must reach out to make Jesus known and draw as many as possible to experience likewise the same confidence and peace and joy in God, the same assurance, okay, about the future. So that for Guy Thierry and daughter, and I believe increase for all the rest of the children, they will come to encounter God in Jesus Christ and will never be the same again. My friend, this is what you and I put in here on earth to do, to reach out, to introduce this God, our shepherd, to as many people as possible, so that they will come to experience a place of provision for their lives, a promise of protection. But finally, you and I can all practice the presence of God from day to day, so that in our hearts, my friends, right in the midst of turbulence, there's security, there is rest, there is peace, there is joy. Let me close in prayer, shall we? For those of us who are listening and maybe even tuning for the first time possibly, especially for those of you who have not yet taken a step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want to pray for you. If you follow after me quietly in your heart, this prayer to trust in Christ, acknowledge that I'm a sinner, believing Christ died on the cross for my sins, asking to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. So if you desire to, can I lead you in this prayer, if you follow me after me in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. I want to say I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross so that my sins can be forgiven. And now come right now into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me your love, your peace, and your joy, and enable me to live as a Christian from today onwards. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, for those who prayed this prayer, Lord, I ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, seal it deep in every heart and every life, O God, I pray, and bring this new life and new birth to pass. Enable them, Father, I pray, to be followed up, O God, in a fellowship, O God, here in DUMC, so they'll grow in faith, be built up, be blessed, and also in turn, Father, reach out to make Jesus known, to draw as many as possible to likewise encounter this God who is our shepherd, the perfect, wonderful shepherd for all of us in our lives. So bless his precious ones who have taken a step of faith today, Father, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Well, for those who prayed that prayer just now, could I ask you to click on the button, raise hand, okay, to show that you have taken the step of faith to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, and someone will follow you up, right, soon after you click the button. Would you do that, my friend? Very, very important. One final thing. I want to pray for all of us, because in times like this, it is so important, isn't it, to turn attention to God. At the end of it all, it is He and He alone who can give us peace, rest, security, all right, and the trust about the future. Let me pray. God, our Father, I thank and praise you for your mercies, your love for us, that it is in times like this, all the more so, O God, we look to you for our help and our hope. Lord, I pray it is not just for us, ourselves as well, to find, O God, the peace, the restedness, the joy in you, that in you, O God, we can end up becoming an overcomer and not be overcome by the circumstances around, because you are in charge and control of everything. So help us to look to you, Lord, I pray for wisdom for all of us to know what to do, how to respond in the midst of demands and pressures upon our life. I pray, Father, for those who are going through challenging times right now, even about the pay or pay cut or business restructuring, whatever they need to go through. Lord, I pray for divine wisdom, understanding, and for you to open doors for them somehow, Father, I pray, so that their needs will be met, so they will know, oh God, you're a God who is our shepherd, who cares for our needs and all that we go through in life. Bless each and every one, Father, I pray. But more than that, oh God, I pray that you help us reach out to touch many more for you and draw them to faith in Christ, that they too can experience you as their shepherd of their lives, Father, I pray. So bless us all, and bless, oh God, I pray, Father, our day and a week ahead of us, oh God, I pray, and glorify your name, oh God, I ask, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day and a great week ahead.